right now. At this point, I invite you to get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out and turn to Acts chapter 16. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16. I'll be reading verses 11 to 15. Let us hear the word of the Lord. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship that we've had together. And we do thank you for this invitation to come. To come and sit at your feet, Lord Jesus, to hear from you. To come and worship in your presence, knowing and believing that you are a God, all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing, everywhere at once. And we thank you that you are a God who can change lives. Lord, there are lives in this place today that need to be changed. And I'm sure all of us can think of someone in our life right now, Lord, that we are praying that you would change their life, oh God. Would you rescue them? Would you help them? Would you deliver them and save them? Would you heal them and make them whole again? And so, Lord, we thank you that we can acknowledge in this place together right now that we worship and serve a living, powerful God who has no equal. And we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can gather together on this summer morning to worship and praise you. And God, would you just touch lives in this place. Lord, if anyone even here right now is in need of a healing touch, Lord, would you pour out your healing power over them? That as we come, as we have just sung, as we just reach out and touch the hem of your garment, Lord, as we believe by faith, God, that you are God who can change lives even now, Lord, we thank you. And we thank you. We come with expectation before a God who causes the lame to walk, the blind to see, and those suffering from addiction to be freed from that. You came to set the captives free, Lord Jesus, and we thank you that there is power in the name of Jesus to heal and to save. We give you praise, Lord. You are worthy, and you deserve all of our praise, and it is to your name that we give all the glory now and forevermore. And we thank you for your word, and Lord, would you help us by your Spirit this morning to understand the spiritual truths, Lord, that you have given us in your word, that we might not only understand them, but apply them, that we would be hearers and doers of your word. Lord, thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit, our helper, to live for Jesus, to put into practice your word every day. Lord, may we just grow in our faith even now. Lord, mature us, we pray, as, Lord, we look to you, as we set our eyes to you in Christ's name. Amen. And praise be to God. As we look to God's word, may we always remember that when we receive the reading of God's word in faith, knowing that God's word goes forth, and guess what? It never returns void. It never returns to him void without accomplishing his purposes. So let us always remember that as we come under the hearing of God's word. In the book of Acts, we learn how God works to send and to guide and to call and to connect the apostles to those who needed the gospel. And in our passage today, we see this incredible coming together that God orchestrated where someone in need of the gospel hears it and whose life is changed forever. And her name was Lydia. And it is revealed time and time again, God's hand guiding his people. Guiding his people and even enabling his people to accomplish what he commands. Now in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gave his followers the command, the great commission to go into the entire world and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that he has commanded. And that, my friends, fellow followers of Christ, is why we are here. This great commission is our calling to go into the entire world, to make disciples, to baptize them and teach them to obey all that he has commanded. Even this past week, any kind of vacation Bible camp is a demonstration of that great commission. And how are you being used by God when it comes to this great commission? He wants to use you. There's no doubt in my mind about that. No matter who we are, when we have lived, or what we can accomplish, each of us has a role to play in expanding the Lord's kingdom here on earth, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Now, while some are called to go to faraway places, most of us are called just to engage and penetrate our current locations with the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. The entire world, you see, is a mission field. And as soon as you leave these doors this morning, you're back into it. And we don't need to go very far to find it. Now, it can be as close as the house next door, truly, that mission field. It could be also the seats occupied by the people that you travel with on your commute, perhaps. Or the locker room down the hall in your high school. The point is, the Great Commission that we all have been given by God, for all of us, that could be just local, could be just around the corner. That place may very well be the place we already are. You already are. It's just sometimes we get too busy and distracted. We need to come back, press that reset button. At first glance, I love this passage in Acts chapter 16 for what it says about the people of God coming together out of the busyness of life to seek out a place to pray and to worship. I also love this passage for what it teaches about the work of God in opening hearts for salvation. Did you catch that truth in this passage? And then I also love this passage for what it teaches about the calling on every believer in Jesus Christ to talk about Jesus to strangers, to friends, and to family, and to open our homes, to open our lives to be a blessing to others. You know, it is in our going joined with God's enablement to go and connect us to others and in Him, causing faith to bring forth that anyone is saved. And so the important truth, an essential truth of the Christian faith that we find in our passage today is salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to God. Now, verses 11 to 12, if you follow with me in your Bibles, we begin this passage with these two words, from Troas. And who's involved in this passage? Well, it's Paul and his companions. They're on a missionary journey. God had singled out Paul to do great works of evangelism and mission work. Right after during his conversion experience, if you learn of Paul's conversion, Saul's conversion to Paul, God had said, he is going to be my messenger. I'm going to use him to spread the word of God throughout the land. And he's doing it, but he's not alone. He has Silas with him. He has John with him, Timothy at times. But he's not alone. And they're on the move. They're on the move. It says, from Troas, we put out to sea. We sailed. The next day, we arrived in a place called Neapolis. From there, we traveled. So these opening verses, you get the sense that there's a lot of journey going on. There's a lot of traveling. They're on the move. Jesus said, go, and guess what? That's what Paul is doing. He's going. He's moving. They're going to places and they're going to people with good news of great joy. And his name is Jesus. In verse 11, we learn that they set sail from Troas and arrived in a place called Macedonia. And Paul and his missionary team, they had to sail across the Aegean Sea to get there. So they are sailing. You need to realize this, from the continent of Asia to the continent of Europe. This is a pretty big deal now in church history. This was a big step, perhaps bigger than Paul even realized. And we have to understand something too. We see the Lord's favor on so much of Paul's travels. as they get to their destination safely. You know what? This is just a little sidebar, but we should never take for granted safety while we journey, protection as we travel. It is always good to start a road trip, a journey, whether big or small, with prayer. Would you do that? Would you have your kids join you in doing that? Before you leave, just pray for traveling mercies and then thank the Lord for arriving safely. His mercies are new every morning for every road trip. Now, I'm sure that the Roman emperor at the time, and his name was Claudius, I'm sure that the Roman emperor Claudius would have shrugged his shoulders in apathy if he had learned that a little Jewish man named Paul had set foot on European soil to tell people about Jesus Christ. Claudius had a lot more important matters to attend to than this. And yet, in our passage today, we learn about the beginning of Christianity on the continent of Europe. And its influence there changed the world. The Apostle Paul arrived in a place called Philippi, which is the leading city of that part of Macedonia. And Paul's general strategy with his companions when they arrived in a new place was to seek out a synagogue, to plant a church, to start engaging with people in the neighborhood where people gathered. And he knew that it was easier for the gospel to spread from these cities than to these cities as they started in small groups, and then God would multiply them. And that fire would just continue to spread as people came to know Jesus. It's exciting. In verse 13, Paul, we learn, goes straight to a synagogue, and that's often where he would start because he knew that when he would go to a synagogue to speak to Jewish people, there would be an opportunity for people to hear what he had to say. And Paul, with his Jewish background, had an opportunity always to speak and stand up to share with people what was on his heart. And he always shared the gospel faithfully to the end. Now, because we are told he went outside the city of Philippi to find people to be with, tells us there was no synagogue in Philippi. Philippi lacked, you see, the 10 Jewish men in a town that it took to form a synagogue. Just a fact. But that's why Paul isn't in a synagogue when he arrives in Philippi, because there wasn't one. So then he had to figure out, well, where do believers gather? Where do worshipers of God meet? And so he finds out. He goes to the river because Luke, the author of Acts, tells us here they expected to find there a place of prayer. And we can determine that while in the city, you know, Paul and his companions, they asked around for believers or Jewish people, where do people gather to pray to God? Well, I'm sure they got lots of different reactions, just as I'm sure people would give you lots of different reactions today if you walked into Old Mill Park and just randomly asked people, where do people gather to worship God? Can you imagine the responses you would get? You probably, from some, wouldn't get any. Just, you're crazy. You're nuts. Or Tim Hortons. That's right. That actually is a really important gathering place for believers. Some people wouldn't even know how to answer that question. What God? Who? What do you mean by that? I challenge you there this summer, just randomly. Where do people go to worship God in your community? Well, after a few, you know, conversations, he finds out that there are believers, there are people that meet at the river to pray. And they must have been told about a gathering of people there. Verse 14, what does it say? One of those listening, one of those that were gathered in this place of prayer by the river was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So in verse 14, we are introduced to this woman named Lydia, who was a businesswoman with a very successful business. That's great. But then she was also a worshiper of God, a woman of who wanted to spend time also in her life seeking the Lord in prayer. Now, we do learn that she was a worshiper of God. Not much is said about Lydia. This is the only time in the whole Bible that we learned a little bit about her life. But Lydia was believed to be a Gentile, not a Jew. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. A Gentile, but she had learned about the Jewish God and started to worship with the Jews. However, her understanding of God was not clear enough, because we begin to see that as much, even though she had this desire to worship God and to seek Him, there was still something missing in her life. And this is where we see God guiding people and sending people into your life to help you understand the truth of why you're here and what is the good news of Jesus Christ. Lydia had some familiarity with God, the God of Israel, but she was not a true believer. Not yet. Now, I believe God was drawing Lydia to himself long before Paul and Silas came to town. In the same way that he works on drawing all people to himself, her heart was ready, having been prepared by God, and she was led of God to be there and to hear. And of course, it just tells us that, you know, she responded to Paul's message. What was Paul's message? The good news of Jesus Christ, that there is hope, that there is salvation. And you can find it in Jesus, the only way, the only truth, the only way to the Father. And Paul was always faithful in proclaiming the good news of the kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. And she heard it and she received it. And God had arranged for this meeting of Paul and Lydia at the riverside so that she could hear the gospel and be saved. And praise the Lord, she was. In verse 15, it goes on to say, when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So even after we learn of her salvation, her conversion, born again, no longer in the dark, but spiritually in the light, we see this evidence of change. Something has changed in her. Now, when God opened her heart, well, she responded by believing the message. This was the work of God in her. You know, Paul and his team, they would have sat down, they would have explained the gospel to this small group of women. And as the text reveals, it says, the Lord opened Lydia's heart, along with the hearts of those in her household, to respond to the gospel, and they got saved. And she did, Lydia did what Romans 10 verse 9 says about how to be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the expression God opened her heart is amazing, and it's comforting, and it's reassuring for us as we reach the world for Christ, as we reach kids, as we reach out to youth, as we reach out to our neighbors and our lost family for the cause of Christ. May we never forget these important words. God opened her heart. And the word opened is a powerful word found throughout Scripture describing God's supernatural grace. God's working in our lives. It is used of Christ when he opened the ears of a deaf man. His ears were closed shut. He could not open his ears, but God could. And it was a work of God's supernatural grace that caused this man to hear again. It is the same word used to describe God opening the rock in the wilderness so that water could have gushed out and sustained the thirst of the children of Israel. It is the same word of the angel who opened the gates in Acts 12 so that Peter and John could escape. It is the word when the heavens opened up at Jesus' baptism and the dove came down. This is a powerful word of God's supernatural intervention. It is God's inside work to change the heart. Because only God can do that. Only God can change our hearts. God helped Lydia see the truth of what Paul was proclaiming. God used Paul. There's no doubt there. God spoke through Paul's message, giving her the word of life, and she responded. She still had to make a choice. You know, she had probably been familiar with some of the Hebrew scriptures. What she had learned already was now making sense to her because Paul helped her understand that the Hebrew scriptures all pointed to Jesus Christ and that the Hebrew God that she worshiped appeared in the flesh and his name was Jesus and he died on the cross for her sins, raised from the dead 3 days later to now be in heaven forevermore. The act of God opening Lydia's heart was truly the work of the Holy Spirit, the illumination of the Holy Spirit to help her see and understand and grasp the scriptures in a new way, of almost making the puzzle pieces fit together in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that is how the Spirit of God works. Lydia was saved because of the work of God in her heart. She made a choice because God opened her heart to respond through repentance and faith to receive this free gift of eternal life that is for all people. So praise God for the gift of faith. And do that today. Praise God for the gift of faith that he has given to you, because our faith is a gift from God. And praise the Lord, it is God who saves, and salvation belongs to him. Another life lesson that we learn from Lydia here in this passage is that a heart open to the gospel usually leads to a home open to hospitality. And a life open to being used by God to be a blessing to others. After being baptized, what do we learn about Lydia? Well, she begs Paul and his companions, come to my house. Come and stay. And she says, if you consider me, the verse says in verse 15, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. So after being saved and being baptized, Lydia begs Paul and his companions to come to her house and stay. She says this, and the word translated consider means to form or give an opinion after separating and considering the particulars of a case. So what Lydia is literally saying, examine me now, Paul. Examine me now and see if there's any evidence that I've truly been born again. Look at the particulars of my case and answer for yourself, if I've been born again. And she was. And we see evidence of that. We see the fruit of her salvation just at the end of this passage. And her opening her life and wanting to be used by God to be a blessing to Paul and his companions as they were moving and going about the world spreading the good news. You know, when you become a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, there ought to be some evidence of a changed life. The gospel message changes lives because it is the power of God at work. And with Lydia, we see it in her desire to welcome into her home and serve Paul and his companions. And so what does Lydia show us? Lydia shows us here how our homes can be used for Christ. Our lives can be used for Christ, whether it's through hospitality, through our service, through providing a place of rest. How about hosting a prayer or Bible study or providing meals for those in need? However way the Lord calls you to serve, may it begin in your home. May it begin with your own family. May the Lord lead you in how you can use your home and your lives to be a blessing to your neighbors and your family this week. During my college years, I was able to volunteer at a place in the Chicago suburbs called the Lydia Home. That's what it was called. And perhaps in your travels around the world, you've heard of these places. It is a wonderful ministry to this city, which began in 1913. In 1913, some ladies from an evangelical free church in Chicago felt the calling to carry out God's command for caring for the fatherless. So this group of women answered this call. They decided that each month they would mend and sew clothing for children who lived in orphanages. And as they distributed this clothing to these orphanages, the ladies became aware that these orphanages were just not just in need of clothing. They were filled to capacity. They were kids not getting care and meals that they should. And it was evident to them that God was calling them to go further than just providing some mended clothes. And so they wanted to do more and to serve the Lord without question. And they realized God wanted them to make something more of a ministry to help not just the fatherless in Chicago, but also youth and adults who needed care, who needed love, who needed a shelter. He wanted them to provide a home for people who had no one to care for them, to provide a safe haven. So in 1916, the Lydia Home, it's still a Christian not-for-profit ministry, was formed. And over 100 years later, the Lydia Home remains committed to providing hope, healing, and home for those in need of assistance and to children in the foster care community. Now, I got to volunteer there for about 3 months. It was great. It was an eye-opening experience. But it certainly, God used this home to encourage me and to help me understand my gifts. God, where do you want me to serve? And I love how this ministry was inspired by the Lydia of Acts 16. That's where this home came from. And God is using it still to this day to change lives, to help people in need, to help people have hope and healing. How has God called you to serve him? Is your home a Lydia home? God has given, no doubt, the Bible is clear. God has given every believer spiritual gifts to be used to edify, to encourage, and to build up the body of Christ, the church. God has also given you these same gifts and passions to reach the lost. And to, as we said all week for the kids, shine Jesus' light. We all have something to do for the Lord. Do you know what that is today? If you don't, make sure you spend time praying before you leave. Lord, show me. Show me how you want to use my life. Maybe for you, it will begin in your home for those closest to you. Maybe it will be somewhere else. The pattern that we see in the early church is that the gospel message transforms ordinary people like Lydia, who had a job, who took time out of her busy schedule to meet and pray, and she wanted to be used by God, and she made herself available in service to God. So praise God for Lydia from the Bible, who showed faithfulness in being part of a prayer meeting by the river. She accepted the true gospel of Christ. She opened her home for the ministry of Christ. I love this passage. I love this passage for what it says about people of God coming together throughout the week out of the busyness of life to seek out a place to pray and worship together. I wonder for you if it's not that you need a bigger paycheck or more vacation time or more time at the cottage. Maybe I wonder for you, you just need to spend more time in prayer with other believers. Just taking some time, not a lot, but just being together. Often I've found that if you start, it just grows, it just multiplies. All 3 hours later, wow, this is what I needed. However long, spend time in prayer. Find people, seek people out to pray with. I love this passage for what it teaches about the work of God in opening hearts of salvation. You know, we're called to preach faithfully the word of God, the gospel in this place. But it's God who does the work. It's our God who saves. You know, he might use you to sprinkle and sow seeds here. He might use you to water and love and encourage, but it is God who saves. So those people that you've been praying for years that aren't saved, just keep praying. Don't give up hope. God can change the hardest of hearts at any time. It's his work. I love this passage, lastly, because it teaches us about the calling on every Christian to talk about Christ to strangers and to open our homes, to open our lives to be a blessing to others. Will you do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your presence. Yes, as we sang early, and we thank you that surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And we just humbly come before you now, Lord. And we together with one voice, we just call out to you, Lord, here we are. Here I am. Lord, send me. Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, heal me. Help me today. Thank you that in this world, as dark as it is, there is a light that is shining. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are the light inside of our lives, shining brightly for all the world to see. Forgive us, Lord, when we have been too busy and distracted, when we've lost our focus, when we've lost our vision as believers, as families, as a church family. Lord, we need a fresh outpouring of your Spirit over this community, over all these churches, Lord. Would you continue to raise up, we pray, Lord, men and women who have a desire and a hunger to pray and seek your face. We thank you for Lydia in the Bible, for her example to us. We thank you for the encouragement and the spiritual lessons that we have gleaned and that we have received. Now help us, we pray, O God, to put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen.